Okay. We're back. Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, hour two. Today's date is December 10th, 23. Yeah, we don't have very many shows left till the end of the year. We will be live on New Year's Day. You know, I was just talking to Sam before the show about the New Year's Day show. But we're going to be doing the whole weekend, New Year's Eve day morning. How many of those little things can we sling together? But we'll be there. So as the year ends, we'll be here for you. I hope the year will end. I don't know that we're at the end of the world yet. You know, that will come eventually, but, you know, we might not be around. But I was just saying about immigration, right? Solve it for me. Tell me who we elect. How do we elect? How do we round up all these people that are in the thing? How many just came in yesterday, right? Thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands. Are we in millions yet? Millions of people are here illegally.
Don't worry, Steve. We're going to send more National Guard troops to the border to not stop the immigration,
to
help process them across the border. You know, it's such insanity, folks. You know, what can be done, you know? Since the second time I was on, you know, I had to have come on and said, you know, folks, I'm not sit here and tell you that there's something easy, you know. We're in a lot of trouble, you know. And we can't come out and say exactly, but, you know, I've mentioned, and Farron and other people have mentioned, you know, a little book called The Turner Diaries, you know, the race mixing, the faggotry, everything else, you know, and if you said anything against it, you were an enemy of the state. And then they had black gangs, you know, coming around through neighborhoods, you know, confiscating firearms and this and that, and just abusing anyone who opposed the faggotry and the race mixing and everything else, you know. Do I agree with everything that happened in that book called The Turner Diaries? No, but it's a pretty damn, you read that book, and it's pretty damn close to what we're experiencing today. It's just not quite as violent yet, kinetically violent, you know. We're being digitally warred against, you know, our brains are being destroyed, and it's pretty much what happened in that little book. Do I agree with everything? No, but you look at it, it's pretty damn close to what we're living in today.
Yeah. Man, it's been a long time since I read that. It's probably been 10 years, you know, when I first got to Texas. Mm-hmm. But, I really don't know. I don't see an out for us, and I'm sorry, you know, the Trump presidency doesn't hold anything for me. Another 4 years of Biden doesn't hold anything for me. Nikki Haley.
Or what's her real name? Mikhail Silverstein Steinman or something.
She's God.
She's some weird, you know, not even American by any means, but.
And I don't think she was ever elected by anybody, right? She was just appointed. And so she was a UN envoy. And it's like, so she was all hail George Bush, I think it was. You know, Bushy put her in charge. And what did she pay for that, huh? I don't know.
Last time we were running, you know, I know on RBN she was affectionately known as Nasty Nikki, you know.
Nasty Nikki, I don't think I've heard that, but I don't really pay that much attention to her. Wow. Hey, Mike in Kentucky's on the line. Let's see if he has a solution to immigration. Or let's see if he has a solution, damn it. You know, or there's just a lot of problems.
How about instead of damn it? You can always start blessing things on a regular basis instead of damning them.
Okay, and then we'll all get screwed with a blessing.
I keep hoping that Mike, he's a smart guy. I keep hoping he'll come up with a philosopher's stone, you know, the one cure-all that cures everything and makes life wonderful, you know.
I don't know. We could put out some false narrative that everybody in America has syphilis or some craziness, you know. Could all start acting like zombies and scare everybody into going home.
I guess
we've got chlamydia as a vice president right now. You know, we do have a venereal disease as a vice president.
Well, you were talking about Nasty Nikki. I mean, you know, think about the Epstein stuff. And I just saw some meme that showed what was that, Toy Story, the Woody character with that had Tom Hanks' face imposed on it.
Yeah.
And the meme said something like, when you find out your favorite actor was an Epstein client or a whatever, or the Island visitor.
And this is, you know, it's very subtle, Mike, but, you know, you notice stuff like that. I notice stuff like this, you know, and it's like when I watch television and I watch movies now, you know, you can see it's very subtle manipulation, but it's becoming more blatant, you know, in our face as time goes along. But for a long time, you know, there's been this little subtle, you know, hints and it does affect us, you know, it really does.
Well, Kevin Spacey always did kind of, I always had an uneasy feeling about him and his characters, and it turns out he's a regular, apparently, friend of Epstein and visitor. But there's this whole culture of Lolita that came out of Japan, where they dress up like China dolls to look like little girl dolls. And if you look, I took some screenshots of it because I saw it in part of a webpage for advertising for a Lolita clothing line. And it looks like a bunch of underage girls, and they're all, you know, Oriental, Korean, whatever, you know, like the David Bowie song. Little China girl. You know, they look very underaged, very...
In Afghanistan, they have the bocce boys where, you know, the Afghani elites sit around and they parade out because the men and women are kept separate, you know, in the Islamic, you know, faith. But they dress these little boys up like girls, and they come out and they dance, and the guys bid on who's going to go to bed with them. You know, just crazy sick stuff everywhere.
There's been some untold stories about some of the U.S. troops having to be dealt with for shooting those guys when they've heard them or ran across them being abused and screaming or whatever, so they lose it and just shoot them. Have to be quietly discharged.
Imagine all the things of different cultures that happen, but we don't talk about them here in the United States. Like Saudi Arabia, they're one of our greatest allies, right? Oh, they're just like us, right? Right, Mike?
I've heard them referred to as the 52nd state because Israel's the 51st state. Or Cuba's the 51st state. You know, how many states do we actually have? Barack Obama thought we had 53 or 50. I've been to 53 of the 55 states. Remember that?
Except there's... The only law, though, in Saudi Arabia is that the king makes the law, right? You know, and they probably have a lot of laws, but then the king does whatever he wants. It's not one of those democracies.
Talking about Saudi Arabia here, for years, you know, I got a channel out of Yemen, and I saw what was going on in Yemen. You want to talk about what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians? But the Saudis and the Americans, because I actually saw a Pentagon press briefing where an American general came out and said, we conducted 200 strikes in Yemen this last year. You know, I thought we were nowhere in that, but I've seen what went on in Yemen. And you want to talk about, like I said, you know, in a building, you know, they walk into a building that was bombed and body parts splattered on the walls, picking up bodies that are like bags of jelly because every bone in their body has been crushed, you know, from the concussive blast, you know. I've seen some very sick things and some very disturbing things, you know, but you never heard about the Yemen war, did you? Very little.
No. Well, the Qatar stuff, too. I think between Israel and the U.S., they both striked at stuff in Qatar, but you just barely hear about it now.
Mike, that's something else. They're changing our wording, you know. You know, everyone says it's called Qatar, but, you know, I got a channel from Qatar. And when Qataris were up there speaking their gibberish, they would say Qatar. They didn't say Qatar. They said Qatar.
Anyway, the German report, I heard a report out of Germany that said that even if they started right now and they exported all the people that were in Germany alone, illegally undocumented or whatever, came in, snuck in, they would take something wacky, like 50 years to get them all back to the countries they came in from. And that's just Germany. Wow. So think about since 1990, there's a guy named, remember, he gives it like a kind of a professor's lecture, Numbers USA. And since 1990, between the, you know, the now National Organization for Women and the Gloria Steinem and the pill, the lack of having enough of a replacement, you know, children, 2.4 something or whatever it is, just for replacement. Then by 1990, Congress started raising the legal immigration to instead of about 250,000 a year on average that would come in, it's now over 500,000. But I'm going today to visit a guy who can get a visa for his fiancée out of the Philippines. And he was in Alaska and decided to come back to Kentucky, kind of in an extended family. So he can't get a visa for that woman, even though he's marrying her. But he realized that his money was going to be three or four times worth more. He can rent a big old house over there, and it's a Catholic country. It's only about 6% Islam, because I was worried about that. I said, well, you know, that's where they launched Operation Bojinka. And a lot of people don't realize that there was people killed in that Operation Bojinka as they did testings of the liquid bombs that they were using. They ran, did some test runs, and that's how it got uncovered. But it turns out, I thought it was part of Malaysia, but it's off quite a distance. You know, you couldn't get there in a average rowboat, so there's not a lot of immigration sneaking into the Philippines.
And what country was this again? I'm sorry, I miss it. What country?
The Philippines, as opposed to Malaysia.
Oh, okay, okay,
you know,
yeah.
Kuala Lumpur, yeah. And was it Papua New Guinea and all them islands there that string between India and Australia? Probably one of the few places where we can get stuff manufactured now. I was just told yesterday that there's a real big problem in China now, because they had like a 6-12-hour work day. People finally got fed up. They didn't learn anything from, you know, England establishing the 8-hour work day, 40-hour work week. That was what England, I think, came up with that, and America adopted
it. And the child labor laws came out of England and all that, yeah.
But they've got a huge backlash on their hands in China. You see some of these buy on TV commercials where they say, due to supply chain interruptions, only three per caller, you know, and they're selling you some gizmo. Some of that's actually true. They can't get stuff manufactured because there's huge populations of people that refuse to work in China now, because they work them to death 12 hours a day, six days a week. And they said, what are we getting at? We're not getting anywhere. You know, this hook can sit home and draw. And, you know, I came up with, remember Alfred E. Newman? I've got a whole series of cardboard cartoon signs that I did and memes. And one of them says, we'll work for
Alfred
anything.
E. Newman, Mad Magazine, yeah.
Right. It will work for anything the government can't take. If I saw a bum that had that as a cardboard sign, I'd probably give him a couple of bucks. I did see one. I saw one at an exit about 60 miles away from where I sat. This guy was sitting at the side of the exit as we pulled off the interstate, and his sign, all it said was, she had better lawyers. And I said, stop, let me give that guy a couple of bucks. He made me laugh. And the woman the woman that was driving just mashed the gas and moved on. She wasn't amused. So, yeah, see, if you make a cardboard sign that makes me laugh, I might actually give you a couple bucks. And most of those guys are panhandling or state, you know, there's actually kind of pimps that pimp them guys out.
Yeah,
that drop
we
them
did
all
that
off
in San Francisco. I met a lot of professional ones. You know, they have a Mercedes, they park, they go out, they do their signage, and then they go home. You know, and it's
really in Fort Smith, Arkansas. I saw the same thing, Steve. You know, the guys sitting on the off ramps. You know, we'll work for food. You know, or this and that. You know, homeless. You know, and I actually stopped and set off in a parking lot. You know, for a while. About the time I knew they stopped working, and watched them collect their sign. You know, collect their little stool they were sitting on, and get up and walk a couple of blocks over and get into a brand new car and drive off.
Well, our church is about 5 miles from the main exit of our town here, and the old pastor who's passed away, he caught one of those guys that said something like, "We'll work for food" on his sign. He said, "Get in, we'll take you. I've got, we'll give you, we'll feed you, and I'll give you some work to do." He brought him out to our church campground, dropped him off, and said, "I'm going to go back to the kitchen, have my wife cook you up some food. I'll be right back," you know. And he came in, he was gone. So he drove a couple miles each direction, caught the guy walking back toward town. He didn't want to work.
No.
I've heard even in rural America, some of these guys can make $200 a day.
You know, and that's not to say that people don't that are panhandling don't need money, but I think some people are
very devout. A very devout Christian guy that I know out of Houston, and he's tried to set up some of these kind of halfway single dwellings for not necessarily drug addicts or ex-cons, but they do, you know, when they get kicked out of jail or out of rehab, they need a place to stay to recover. So, but there's, you know, after Hurricane Harvey in Houston, there was a huge bunch of people the mortgage-backed security bubble popped. There was a huge bunch of people that lost their homes and had no place to live. And he set up these little single-family, or not even single-family, but individual mini homes and apartments, are taking over derelict nursing homes and stuff. It's called New Beginnings, and it's right out of the New Testament. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me, or you didn't. And the Lord says, "I knew you not."
And hey, Mike, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I've been wanting to say this for a while. It's like, I don't know, you listeners out there, you remember hearing Mark from Philly? You know, he was a veteran. And he was going through this nightmare of the VA system, trying to find some kind of justice, some kind of help for his condition. You know, he lived in Philadelphia, and he was homeless, and he traveled here and he traveled there. I've tried calling his number. I can't get a hold of Mark. Mark, if you're out there listening, you've got my number. Give me a call. Haven't heard from you in a while. Just wondering what's going on. I hope he's not one of our, you know, RBN family, you know, that's, met unfortunate circumstances and is no longer with us. But if anyone out there knows Mark and has talked with Mark lately, or Mark, if you're listening, give me a call. You know, I've tried calling your number. I can't get a hold of you, and just wondering what's going on in your life, you know. Yeah, I've been a friend of mine. We talked for many hours, you know, a good guy in very bad circumstances, and I hope he's doing all right. So I just wanted to get that in while I was thinking about it. Thank you.
Yeah, Mark from Philly. Did you say Mark from Philly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yeah, didn't he live on the streets, or he was homeless, or he was having a hard time?
He was
time
homeless.
With
he was, yeah, he was in VA shelters and, you know, existing in the nightmare and, you know, I had some PTSD problems and working in the VA system and just being shuffled here and there and, you know, just not good things. But anyhow, yeah. Go on, Mike.
Sad. I was going to say it's kind of sad because there's a lot of homeless people that basically get kind of a free ride. You know, they come, or not homeless people, but migrants or whatever you want to call them, illegals. I saw a video of a train, and I sat there and counted the, it's an average of about 30-some people on top of these grain hoppers and tankers, starting to northern, SF, whatever that stands for. Anyway, Southwest, you know, all the railroads have merged, whatever it is, BNSF, and Santa Fe. Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad. 30-some cars with 30-some people riding on top of them. BNSF wanted to try to handle that, they'd need a small army. That's, you know, 400 people.
I hear you. All right, hey, thanks for the call, Mike.
No problem. Have a good one.
Catch you a little bit later. Republic of Texas Radio.
The secret to aging like fine wine is in the vines. Ciroc grape seeds and skins contain high levels of flavonoids and resveratrol. Fermentation breaks these organic compounds down into smaller molecules, penetrating these therapeutic ingredients deeper into the skin, delivering faster and more effective results. Our handmade fermented skincare products are formulated with all natural ingredients and do not contain any phthalates or parabens. Similar products can cost as much as $180. At Natural Earth Medicine, we source our ingredients from local Arizona vineyards and cold process our oils to ensure that our customers receive the highest quality product in its purest form. Learn more at our website and try our fermented skincare products today. Visit naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
We're back, Republic of Texas Radio. Hey, Andy just dialed in. Maybe he wants to chime in on the whole Philadelphia Mart type situation, or maybe he's going some other direction. What you got, Andy?
Well, hey, no, absolutely. I mean, I had a pretty good off-air conversations with Mark for a long time. And, you know, one of his passions was karaoke and whatnot. And he told me about, you know, how he was, you know, he was getting some sort of Salvation Army, if you will. I could be wrong about that. But he was getting some sort of charity housing, and he lived with more than one person and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, you know, I kept calling him back, and he no answer and whatnot. But no, he was a real bright individual, and I say was because I'm talking not as if he's passed or whatnot. I'm talking as though as if he was, as in, you know, I haven't talked to him recently and stuff. But yeah, no, he was a great person in everything that I knew about him and whatnot. And then all of a sudden,
he loved to talk about the Mayan calendar.
He gave me the Mayan calendar. He told me that I was a great person based on all the information I gave him and stuff. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. I look in the mirror, I don't see that guy. But, you know, his thing was that he was trying to get some VA help, and he has PTSD or whatever. You know, maybe there's something. Maybe there's other initials that could have went with that or something. But he didn't. He wasn't having any success. But the last time I talked to him, he said he had another appointment. Now the gentleman, his family, he was adopted, so his family owned some truck stops and whatnot, and he grew up and whatnot. And then something happened with his sister along the way, which was adopted with him and whatnot, and some weird stuff happened. The dad didn't really want him. The adoptee didn't really want him, but they wanted the sister and something. You know, use your imagination there. Something like that happened and whatnot. So, I mean, it was a terrible experience all around, you know, being in the military and getting the PTSD, and then it was also what happened with his sister, and then all this wealth in their family and whatnot. And when he comes back, he's finding himself alone, homeless.
The guy had a remarkably good outlook on life, you know, for what he was going through. You know, he was fairly positive, even though, you know, we talked about a lot of dire things. No, he was a good guy. It's like, because I haven't talked to him for a long time, you know, he is a good guy. I hope he's still around. Maybe he found some place to stay and settle and nest in that's doing him some good, and he stopped listening and stopped calling, because maybe he found, no, you know, something good in life, you know, a comfortable place, and he's just trying to adopt, you know, and adapt. And, you know, that's, I hope that's what happened to him.
Well, the last time I talked to him, he was actually at a karaoke bar, and he was sitting in the bar. I could hear the people in the background, and he actually said, "Well, I'm up. We got to go, Andy." So he was getting ready to sing a song or whatnot, and that was the last time I talked to him. And then after that, he wouldn't receive my calls anymore. So,
oh well, yeah.
All right. Hey, Mark, well, thanks for calling in. We'll find out if he shows up again. You know,
well, maybe
go ahead.
If he's listening to us, maybe he'll give us a call.
Maybe.
Thanks,
Dan. He's got my number. We talk many hours. Yeah, he's got my number. So.
Okay. Well, very interesting. Let's see. Did we have another call? No, that was that. Wow. You know, that's it's kind of crazy how that happens with RBN. Every once in a while, we find one of our frequent callers / hosts. They disappear. People come and go in our society. They, you know, I go back to Dave Von Kleiss. I never thought I'd hear from him again, right? Even though he wasn't an RBN family or a host back in the early 2000s. He was a Genesis person, but we're kind of all the same. And it's amazing that he's back in here. You know who else is back, Alan? I know you won't give a crap. Guess. Say who's back, Steve.
Peter Pan.
Oh. Alex Jones. Alex Jones is back on Twitter, now called X. Elon Musk has decided that he's going to let Alex Jones back. Wow, isn't that great? Now, are you going to buy a Tesla? Are you going to buy a Tesla, Alan? Does that even matter?
You know, Steve, I know there are electric vehicles out there, but the ones that really creep me out are these vehicles that like when you pull up to a stoplight, they shut off. And then you hit the accelerator and they start back up.
God.
Or, you know, it's like they've got their own brain. And it's like you don't control me. It's like I'm going to start and stop when I want to, not when you want me to. And I know it's wonderful.
But that's
wrong.
It
totally saves gas.
No, it's not wonderful.
That just kind of creeps me out.
Starters have not progressed to the point where they're. How many starters are you going to replace? Right, you know,
I've done two of them on my truck.
Nope. Yeah, and it's like, is that worthwhile? But I guess they would say yes, it is, right? Because a starter on a new car is probably only like $500, and the gallon of gas that you save every what?
And if it doesn't start,
it's
you just
so
throw it away and buy
annoying,
new, right, Steve? Yeah.
I don't know. Hang on, Republic of Texas Radio.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk. Real people, because you can handle the truth.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country,
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So here we fight all through the night.
All right. Hello. We're back, and we got a couple phone calls. Maybe we'll get some information, or let's see what we get. Bruce in the Carolinas. How you doing, man? Good morning.
How about you, Texas? Here's a little bit of update that I last heard about Mark. He was known as Mark the Spark. He last contact I heard from him was in the mid-Pennsylvania, somewhere around Altoona, perhaps. Probably not it, but that's close. His great-grandfather was in the Civil War. His last name was Wirth, spelled W-I-R-T-H. He's buried in a graveyard in Arkansas, Missouri state line, right there close to it. And he and I had lunch together about 4 years ago. And let me see, what I'm trying to say is there were some issues, but he was pretty much right on target. And that's the last I heard from him. But let me see. I think that's probably about all I have. There was another point I was going to get across, but that's the last I heard from him. It was about a year and a half ago. He used to call into Roger Sales' program Monday through Friday, 11 to 1 o'clock on Eurofolk Radio, and they used to pick him up right there, but I haven't heard from him in the last year and a half. By the way, his great-grandfather, Wirth, was one of the survivors of Andersonville.
Andersonville.
I did some research for him behind that, and I never got the research to him, but Andersonville was a terrible place, and he's got some historical background to him, so if anybody knows where he's at or if he's listening to this, contact RBN as soon as you can. Let us know where the hell you are, Bob, because
contact Bruce or me or someone. It's like,
I miss hearing his voice, you know, periodically. You know, we had some good conversations, you know, very interesting guy. And I know he was traveling around, you know, and you know, he went to this VA, and everyone said it was the best VA, you know, and he, you know, he was like, oh, I think they might actually, you know, try to help me at this place. And then I just lost, you know. Yeah, it's been like at least a year, year and a half, like I said, since I've heard from him, and I've been wondering about him.
Yeah, he's been kind of stuck in Philadelphia for a while. I was hoping he'd get out of there. But when he and I had lunch together 4 years ago, he was getting ready to get out of there. But he's kind of been wandering from one place to another because he's running into people that are less than honorable people. Okay,
less than honorable.
And you out here, you've got to stabilize and let your life kind of calm down. We've got too many people who are out here roaming around, but they've lost their jobs and. They're living out of chance, man. And there's no other place to do it. But this country is in a downfall. It's coming down. It'll survive, but it's not going to recover. That's the word I got about 15 years ago. So it's being torn apart, and all the funds are being put in a check and sent to Ukraine. And we got no business being over there. We got no business being in Israel either. Israel's not our friend. One of the worst enemies we've ever had. And people don't seem to realize that. But that's I guess that's their viewpoint.
Thank you, my friend. You know, you are part of the RBN family. You know, you understand pretty much what's going on. We all have
Let me say one more thing real quick, and I'm going to jump off, okay? And that is this situation over in Israel, the slaughter, the genocide of the Palestinians, this is not about the genocide. It's about the oil and gas and water underneath the Gaza Strip that goes out into the Mediterranean. That's what it's all about. It's all about the oil, and that's all it is, because the Israelis don't want the Palestinians to put their hands on over $500 billion worth of valued oil there. That's what it's all about.
Welcome to corporate America. Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Bruce. Yeah.
By the way, did you guys in Texas, do you know how to make holy water?
One prayer at a time?
No, you boil the hell out of it.
I knew there was something good coming there. Thank you. I need a little chuckle right now. Thank you.
Adios.
Okay, take care. One more person hanging on the weeds. There's Lynn in Maryland. Hi, Lynn.
Thank you. Hi, Steve. It's great to hear your voice. We missed you last week, so thank you. I'll keep you in my prayers, definitely.
Okay.
And it's going to be okay, and I'd recommend a library card. But you know what? I had a friend in L.A., who actually was always on the internet, and he never paid for it. And I'm like, well, how do you have the internet? I don't know, somebody named Marge or something. He was just picking up somebody else's internet.
Yeah.
So just, you never know. actually, I was going to share something I heard earlier this week, and good morning, Alan, as well. And I'll keep your mom in my prayers, and I'll talk to you later. And people with chronic pain also need drugs, you know. Let's not leave the people in pain out, whoever they are. And, okay, but Monday, I happened to catch a part of a program that had to do with, I think his name's Altman, you know, the guy with OpenAI. But it went on to say that, you know, it's, you know, people worry about technology, but remember back when people worried about kids using a calculator. And see, that's no problem at all. Because what all people need to know is how to, you know, be able to use technology. It's just a waste of time to learn, like, memorize multiplication tables. That's just a waste of time. There's no purpose in that. Okay. Friday morning.
I can remember when the TI-35 came out. And you could use it to help do your homework and everything, but you were not allowed to bring that into class and use it like during a test or anything. You had to have it in your brain, you know. It might help you finish your homework while you were at home, but you were not allowed to bring a TI-35 into class with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and well, then on Friday morning, I heard a movie review. I don't remember the name of the movie. It was on NPR's Morning Edition. And this couple's bought a house, moved into a house with a child, and there, all the communications go out. I don't know if the power went out, but the communications went out. And then this black guy and his daughter came to the door, and they used to live there or wanted in. And not you know, wicked or anything, just weird. And then the white guy, the father, who, you know, happens to be not middle-aged but close to it, then he's in a car. Now, this are the clips that they're playing from the movie. And this woman is, like, panic, screaming for help in Spanish. And the guy, like, says to her, I don't understand Spanish. I don't know what you're saying. And he drives off and leaves her. And then the next thing you hear him do is start yelling, I don't know what to do. I don't have my GPS. I can't do anything. And then it goes to the interview with the NPR interviewer. And he says, but actually, think about it. He said, to tell you the truth, I only know one telephone number at this point. I know my wife's work number. That's the only telephone number I know. So think what technology is doing to people. And now we have two or three generations of people that have, know nothing. They don't need to know anything. They can Google it. And they don't have to remember anything. They don't have to memorize anything, and they don't know their 10 dimes in a dollar, you know, and just go right into digital currency because who can make change anyway?
Right. And Lynn, I'm actually, one of the same people around me that I encounter periodically, you know, he's from a fairly affluent, you know, but he's just getting ready to graduate college. And I've been talking to him about, you know, what is college like today? And he said, Alan, he said, I've actually got classes that I need to graduate, and you cannot take this class unless you download a specific app for this class on your smartphone.
Yeah, I do not know how anybody learns accounting 101 on a computer, because you have to actually do it with a pencil to figure out debits and credits. Okay, your brain needs to pick it up and not just rely on Quicken or something. But the other thing is, and that's why it's important to read the library card thing. Everybody should read, because if you're reading on a screen and not like an ebook, because you lose your ability to read when you read on a screen, and you will eventually get to the point, because there's been studies done on this, that you will be unable to read printed text words on a paper, and that's been proven. So the other thing is Nikki Haley. Who was the first person to take down a Confederate flag? Remember that little scenario?
Right.
They had that response concert down there, you know, and the response team for the governor's thing invited everybody to her damn Christian concert. And if I had a recording of what that woman said the next day after that church shooting, I would have called the FBI, because she clearly admitted in her prayer what happened. Now, that guy was just a doofus in a bar that Saturday night, running his mouth. Have you ever seen a picture of that guy? Skinniest little twerp in the world. Probably good with a gun, but he changed clips twice. There were only 10 or 12 people in that Bible study, okay? A granny could have knocked him over with her purse. He's so skinny. Okay, now I don't know a lot about guns, but if he had to change clips even being good, how the hell did he kill everybody? He didn't. And he's getting the death penalty. And he even has a low IQ, but it's a federal charge, so it doesn't matter. And he's stupid enough to represent himself and plead guilty. You know? I mean, just doofus. But Nikki Haley took down that flag, and that began this whole thing with statues and the Confederate flag. And that was when the Speaker of the House, Pelosi, wanted to take out anything that was in the Capitol or any Capitol office that had anything related to the Confederate flag.
Was she a governor? I didn't remember her
governor,
getting elected.
But when Nancy Pelosi wanted to do that for Capitol offices, I called. The bill was going to come to a vote in 10 minutes. And I had a total fit and said, you can't go donating people's private property to the Library of Congress. You pull that bill, and I'm not going to stop making phone calls and raising hell till you do. And they pulled the bill. So, people, we can't just talk to each other. You got to call your congressmen, senators, state senators, and reps, and talk to other people, not bobbleheads that agree with you. You have to try. Sometimes it takes 20 people talking to somebody, and you can be one of them. But especially like this crap with the people in Gaza, you know, we have to do what we can to save those people. They haven't done anything wrong.
You know, and God bless you,
Thank
Lynn. You know, if that's your avenue, you know, at least you're fighting and doing something. Me, I've got a very few people. You know, I live out in the country. You know, but I do have a very few people around here that pretty much understand what's going on, and I do have a small community of people that can and will and are able to defend themselves. I know it. You know, I know I'm not living in a city, so you people living in a city, your solutions will be different, but I would try to create, you know, at least, you know, some kind of a small community around you, find people of like mindset who kind of know what's going on, that when it does get bad, you have a few people that you can fall back on to help, you know, in a survival situation. I don't have a lot of trust in my politicians, Lynn, or their staffers.
That's a good idea, Alan.
Because remember, Lynn,
the
staffers have gone to school
to
learn how to reply to people like you that call in. I'm sorry, but that's the truth of the situation. This is the American Planning Association and all these other organizations out there that train, you know, your county, your city, your national, your state, you know, the employees, you know, they go to classes to learn how to react and talk with people like you that call in. Unfortunately, God bless you for doing what you're doing, Lynn, but, you know, but these people are trained to know how to talk to people like you.
Oh, I know, and the Delphi Effect people. Of course.
Yes, ma'am.
That's
yes,
why
ma'am.
We just have to be wise.
I know.
You know,
like I said,
and
God,
when we
God
talk
bless
to
you
people,
for doing
we
what
find
you
what,
you know,
what
I,
sparks their
I
interest.
Value that.
You know? I mean, because people care about what they care about. So if you care about what they care about or you show an interest, then you can get their attention.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think that they're, you know, I appreciate everybody's, you know, views. Right on how we're going to make change, but I really, you know, Dave Kopeck is probably more in the camp with, you know, making the changes locally. I just have a hard time, Lynn, like Alan does, thinking that even a phone call is going to do anything. Right?
I don't know. 100 staffers walked off the Capitol a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
In
okay.
support of Palestinians, they could have lost their jobs for that.
Well,
our friend Farron Show found out what happens when Jimmy Joe Fred Bob tries to get into politics and try to create some kind of good change. Farron was not picked by the elite. Farron went and tried to run, and he saw what was brought against him. You know, there was no hope in hell that Farron was ever going to get into, you know, into the Congress. You know, he was never going to be a representative. Because he saw what was brought against him.
I understand what you're saying.
Look, I appreciate
you
all very much.
To.
Thank you. And Thank actually, you. Okay. You can have a lot of effect at your library. You
I
really
have a library
can.
Card. I really
Get
do.
A library
I
card.
Have a library card. I do have
Read
one.
A book. I have one I'll recommend. It's actually written by this Jewish guy, Alterman. We Are Not One. And the... A History of America's Fight Over Israel, Eric Alterman, would be my recommendation for the week. Okay, want to know what's going on in Israel and some history? There's a perfect one. And the guy's even Jewish and tells the truth.
Thank you.
Bless your
Thank
heart.
Thank you.
Okay, to Luke Kinkridge. Bye.
Yeah.
Talking about like doing research and everything, you know, when I was doing my senior thesis, you know, which this was my senior thesis. It was called The Reaggregation of Dissociated Cells and Its Morphogenetic Implications. And
Boring.
I went up and had to go through card catalogs. This is before the internet, and you could just click a link. Had to go through
card catalogs and find
the 1979 Journal of Microbiology, you know, Canadian Journal of Microbiology, and this and that. And they called them the stacks because by the time, if you were doing research, by the time you if you pulled a book off the shelf, you didn't put it back. So by the time you ended up, you know, spending, you know, 7 or 8 hours in the library up there, you know, amongst all the scientific journals, you had like 15 or 20 books, you know, on the table with you, you know, because you'd find a little reference and you'd find a reference. And you'd go pick another book out, and you'd look, and you'd find a sentence or two that related to what you were looking for, and then you'd go find another book. You know, it was kind of like clicking a link, but doing it manually.
Yeah, the card catalogs. Yeah, that's a, you know, a fun Dewey Decimal system.
You know, when I first started college, you know, you went into an auditorium, and to get the classes you wanted to, you'd go up and you'd say, is this class open, you know, for this hour, you know, 10 to 11 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday? And they'd hand you a punch card, you know, a computer punch card, you know. That was my first college experience, you know. That you'd collect all your punch cards for your schedule that semester, and you'd go and you'd turn them in. And they'd feed them into a computer, and your name would go in, and you were registered for those classes.
A lot of these things just don't matter, right? Because, you know, what we've got is this younger generation and all these foreigners. That doesn't matter. You know what matters right now? The fact that it's all coming apart at the seams, right? And it's probably going to be a quickening this next year, 2024, you know, as the run-up of Nikki Haley's universe, right, as we come into the control of an absolute psychopath.
I don't care what happens as long as I can watch SpongeBob SquarePants. That's all I care about. Yeah.
Well,
I know.
The problem is you probably won't be able to watch that. You know, somebody might be able to, but we're in for rough times. You know, I heard somebody say something, I think it was yesterday, about how it's imminent that there's going to be an EMP or a collapse of the electrical grid. And I'm like going, yeah, of course, right? Everything's
imminent. It's an imminent front. It's a put on. Yeah, okay.
It's a put on.
You use that word, and it just brought up that song in my mind. So,
okay. But the grid's going to go down someday. Does it go down now? Does it go down because of an attack, right? Does it go down because of stupidity? Here in Texas, it could be going down because of stupidity, as well as the corporate United States, as they leverage all these awful technologies. You know, the solar and wind power, those are terrible technologies for the grid. But that drives craziness on the streets. But the financial collapse, which is quickening year by year, you know, is it here yet? You know, Bitcoin's going crazy, gold is going crazy, but have they gone crazy yet? Right? What is that going to look like?
I've heard gold is like rising. I've heard it was over 2,000 an ounce. I've kind of been out of pocket. I mean, what is happening with gold and silver? Is it rising now, finally? And reaching a new peak before they start manipulating it again, or what? What's happening there?
See, I have a hard time. Let me get the spot right now. LD. Gold spot prices. Here we go. Blah, blah, blah. Kitco is the one that I like for checking that. Well, gold is up there. It's still at $2,000 an ounce. You know, so is that something? I guess if you bought in at $1,500, it's something. But it hasn't gone yet. I really don't see that gold has done too much recently. I'm looking for $4,000 gold when things start going crazy or more.
When it does start doing that, Steve, you'll know that the proverbial poo-poo caca has definitely hit this circulating device. So, yeah.
Yeah, and Bitcoin, of course, they're saying Bitcoin right now is heading to 100,000, and it's currently sitting around 44,000. Yeah, it's sitting there, and who the hell knows what's going to happen with this world except for, I don't know. I don't like what I see, and that probably really doesn't matter what I feel. Let's make sure that we don't have any further calls, and then I'll check what I was trying to get across today, because I really didn't have much to get across today, you know, except for things are coming around, and I don't mean that they're coming around in a good way. things are circling back. And that maybe that sounds esoteric or woo-woo, but for my life, I see themes repeat themselves. And I don't know about you out there listening on the radio or even you, Alan, you know, but in my life, this pattern happens.
In the world of Yogi Berra, it's deja vu all over again, Steve.
It is. It is. And I really... Caesar in New York. He just jumped in. Let's bring him.
All right,
hey, Caesar.
Yeah.
What are you thinking?
How are you? How are you gentlemen doing today?
I'm good.
Hi,
how are you?
I'm better than yesterday. Look, I'm going to make this quick because I know you are limited for time. Following the horrendous October 7th massacre by Hamas and shocking discoveries that certain media outlet staff had troubling ties with terror organizations in Gaza, 14 state attorney generals issued a warning to the New York Times, CNN, and AP. Let me continue. The letter was signed by the attorney generals from Iowa, Alabama, Florida, Arkansas, Indiana, Kentucky, Texas, Louisiana, Montana, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, South Carolina, and Tennessee. We will continue to follow your reporting to ensure that your organizations do not violate any federal or state laws by giving material support to terrorists abroad. Now your organizations are on notice. Follow the law, the officials wrote. I don't know if you've ever heard of honest reporting, exposing anti-Israel media bias, but it depends on the content. These guys are out of Israel, and they issued this to the attorney generals, and I guess they signed it. So now, if you criticize, right, the Edomites for the genocide being committed against these people that have, I mean, these people basically have nothing but rocks and sticks, then you're supporting a terrorist organization. How do you like that one?
You sound like one of those evil anti-Semites, you know, Caesar.
using funky terms. I hate
Did you guys
words.
Know about honest reporting? Have you heard that yet?
No, yeah. I have not, but
I've actually heard something about that, yes, yeah.
Well, now you've heard of it. I read it to you, and these are the letters that were sent out. So, I mean, listen.
I know that Texas really likes Israel for some. The politicians in Texas really seem to like Israelis a lot, and it's a damn shame.
Yeah, I mean, you keep on calling them Israelis. I mean, the Israelites were the 12 tribes of Judea. These people are Khazarians that converted to the religion under King Bulang,
and Caesar, hey, unfortunately, Caesar, there's the music coming in, and I will close up by saying once again, take care, folks. You know, we are family, and you know, I appreciate y'all being out there. Steve,
yeah,
close us out.
Okay, bye, Caesar. See you guys. Have a good day.
Okay.
Learned as a community and equally taught every boy and girl. The tree of life is us, my friends.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.